come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. Bring the greetings of mercy and grace to you. I want to open the Bible this morning to Matthew chapter 5. And we'll begin reading in verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or two. Give to him that asketh of thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. I want to talk this morning a little bit about balance and how to have victory in our Christian life. I've spent most of my life living my life just trying to do whatever I had to do to be saved. There's a verse in Peter that says, First Peter, chapter 4, says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Whenever we look at this verse, it teaches us that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first beginneth with us, what will be the end of those that obey not the gospel of God? I remember one time a man testified at church and said that he just wanted to get into heaven by the skin of his teeth. And I knew when he said that there was something terribly wrong with that. And yet, as I look back, that's basically all that I was trying to do. I was trying just to be a Christian, doing everything that I thought I needed to do. But that was all. I was what we might think of as whenever we read this text here, of if any man compels you to go a mile, go with him too. Well, I was compelled to go 1 mile because I thought that's all it took to be a Christian. Just go the mile that's required. And I struggled and I struggled and I struggled with my whole Christian life. Just doing what I thought I needed to do. I tried hard. I read my Bible. I tried to do all the religious things. I tried not to do all the bad things. But there was still something terribly missing. I was just doing all that I had to do. I was unwilling to break out into, or I was unwilling to obtain the victory that I knew or I thought was available in Christianity. I struggled with things. And what I didn't realize is all I was doing was trying to fulfill the law. Just like most people, I spent most of my life trying to find religion that I could comfortably live in. One time I was in India and I found, they had a little thing hanging from a little image hanging from the ceiling, and I asked what that was. And they told me that that was to ward off the bad spirits. The purpose of that was that so only good things could happen to them. And on their trucks and things, they would draw pictures of ugly faces, and that's to scare off the bad spirits so that they'll be prosperous. So much of the time, our Christianity, and that's why Christianity is popular there, because so much of the time, the reason we serve Christ is so that we can be comfortable. We want our Christianity. We want Jesus to save us from our troubles and our problems. But that's not the way of Christianity. The Bible says judgment must begin at the house of God. And if we suffer, whenever we read about the teachings of Jesus and we read about the Bible, these people in the Bible, they suffered. We don't like that. We would rather have comfort. And most of us spend all of our life seeking how to be comfortable in religion instead of trying to learn how to be a disciple of Jesus. A disciple is a disciplined one, someone who puts into practice and offers himself to follow Christ and allow Him to control our lives, and no matter what it was, no matter what happens, or no matter we allow Him and we trust Him to have control of our lives. Back again here in 1 Peter, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." Here the apostle is telling us that not to think it strange to go through fiery trials, to go through the trouble and the many things that will come upon us being Christians. This world is against God. It's not for Him. And whenever we begin to follow the Lord, we have an enemy that will try to destroy us. And the reason that we go through these trials is to make us into what God wants us to be. These trials are to test us, to prove us, to see. I believe that in heaven we'll have our free will, that we will still be the creation that God made us, men with a will that can choose right or wrong. And it's only those who are tested that will be able to be worthy of that kingdom. Many people are trying to figure out a religion, create their own denomination, trying to nail it all down where they can rest comfortably in their religion. They want eternal security. They want their denomination to be so strong, and they trust in those things instead of the Lord. That's not what it's about. This time on earth is a time of where it takes faith to follow the Lord. And God is looking for people who are willing to trust Him, to step out, come out of our safety shell, get out of our comfort zone, and walk with Him. That doesn't fit most denominations. It doesn't fit what people think that they can establish and nail it all down with their rules, or they nail it all down where they understand what it's all about. This is a walk of faith. We walk in the light and we step out there and follow the Lord. And it will be bring trials. It will bring tribulations. The reason Christ came into this earth. This is the glory of the gospel. It's not that he just came to save us. He came to give us our will. Many people think that if they just live within these rules and that they'll be safe. But that is not safe. Many people think there's kind of a balance between, we're taught that there's a balance. We try to find a balance. I've spent the majority of my life following Christ trying to untangle everything that I've been taught about religion and so-called Christianity. And it's been an uphill battle. And I've had to let myself be shaken to the core over and over again just to continue to walk in this path. We grew up being taught about being born again and an experience that happens to you, and we've had to realize that it's not that there's nothing good in me. I mean, that's one of the doctrines we were taught, that there is no good in me and I can't even do good, and it's only by my believing that Jesus died for me that I could ever obtain anything. And I began to realize there's just more to it than that. There's more to following the Lord. I had a choice. I had a will in this. And I've wrestled with this. And sometimes people think, well, it's all, God is just, we're just puppets here. And it's only God doing any good in us. Or if there's any wrong, it's from the devil. But I don't believe that. How many of us have made choices? And we know they were our choices. And we know that they are ours. And we chose to disobey or to do something wrong. We can blame nobody but ourselves. We made that choice. And the glorious thing is that what I see in that, the blessing of it is that when people choose to do wrong, the same power that there is out there to choose to do wrong, we have the same power to do what's right. That is such a blessing. We can choose to follow the Lord, just like we chose to follow Satan. And that's what Christ did. We may be able to obey laws. We may be able to do all of those kind of things. We talk about grace, that you're only saved by grace. And sometimes we've just recognized that it's not just getting saved once and I'm going to heaven. We've thrown that doctrine out. Then we went, well, it's up to us. It's our will, our choice. Yes, it is our choice, but it's not. We can't get that choice without the Lord. We are so helpless under Satan's power and under his bondage until Christ sets us free. And if it wasn't for that and him giving us the ability to be freed again, to make those choices to serve him, we would be completely lost. There's no hope for us. But Christ gives us that opportunity to be as saved as we were lost, to be as good as we were evil. That doesn't come without a test. Whenever we read back here in Matthew again, it says, you've heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The law. Right there. The law. Doing all we have to do just to be right with God. But Jesus said, I say unto you that you resist not evil, and whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Here is how we apply our wills. Whenever a man walks the first mile or turns the other cheek, and whoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or go with him two. Whenever a man forces you to go a mile, you're just doing what you have to do. And that is where most people fall in Christianity. They're just trying to what they have to do. And while you're walking that mile, you can grumble and complain and do all those things. But it's when you voluntarily choose to go above and beyond what is required by the law and choose to follow Jesus, that's where the glory comes in. You know, sometimes whenever I was growing up, I tried just to live within this Christianity that was so hard to. And whenever I started following Jesus and I started reading and seeing what He said and how to live, I yielded myself to become His servant. I volunteered. A lot of times I get discouraged and I get depressed and I start having little pity parties, feeling sorry for myself about some of the things I'm going through or some of the things that have happened to me or some of the tests that I have to go through over and over again. And I start looking at those things and I just get, oh, this is too hard. And I just start feeling sorry for myself. But then I remember, I chose this path. I chose to go the second mile. That second mile can be the mile of rejoicing. Instead of just grumbling and complaining about having to do what we're supposed to do, what's just required of us, I want to learn to go the second mile. And not grudgingly, not complaining, but choosing, putting your whole heart into turning the other cheek. Putting your whole heart into the second mile. And maybe even the third. Go above and beyond. And that is whenever it becomes your choice to do this. That's whenever you can't complain because you're choosing to do this for the Lord. That's the core and that's the heart of Christianity. Whenever you struggle with a sin, whenever there's something that you're living in defeat, whenever there's something going on in your life that you just can't quite get over, most of the time, all you're trying to do is just get by. But I'm telling you right here's the key to going above and beyond, to just getting by. You go the second mile in your Christianity. You go beyond, above and beyond. You get in there and you give your heart and soul to please the Lord. The second mile. Whenever, more than just what is required. One of the brethren talked to recently, and he said that he called and he was kind of discouraged because he had been on a job and he had worked hard all week and even asked him to put in overtime. And one night they asked him to work. After they worked a full day, they wanted to work until midnight. And most of the people walked off. And him and only two or three others stayed. And well, after a while, the other two left, and he was all by himself here with the boss, just asking him to go on, and he just gave up and said, "I'm going to quit too." Well, he felt bad about that. Well, they finished out the week, and they went to get paid, and here the boss just, all of the employees that had worked hard all week, he just wanted to give them just a portion of what they had earned. And all of the people got upset and were arguing and fighting. And this brother, instead of arguing with the engineer there that was paying, he just found the boss and just questioned him whether he had even given the engineer enough money and complained to him. And finally the boss gave him some of his pay, but not all of it, but he gave him some of it. And he was just pretty upset that he had worked hard and didn't get paid. But then he got to thinking, you know, why didn't I fighting over this? And I told him, I said, "Listen, there's things worth more than a few dollars and not getting paid a little bit of money. Right there was a chance to earn some gold." And he got home, and there's a brother that we're trying to help was here. He got home, and the man was arguing with the landlord just fighting with them. They were having an argument, and the landlord was trying to get this man to repair something that someone else had broke. He had paid him to fix something, and in trying to fix it, he saw that someone had made a big mistake, and he was going to have to fix that, and the landlord didn't want to pay to get that fixed. He just wanted to pay him what they had agreed on. So they were having a fuss, and the man saw, the brother that came home, just saw, oh, why couldn't he just accept the wrong? And then he realized, well, I didn't do much better. And the thing about it is, the reason God humbles us sometimes like this, brings us to this place, is so that we can know how to deal with people who fail us. Jesus came into this world to be tempted and tested in every way like we are. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows what it's like to be tested. That going through that, He understands what we're going through. And He's trying to teach us so that we can be more like Jesus. That's the goal here, is to be more like Him. So many times, we're so quick when someone does us wrong to take the righteous path and demand justice. Someone fails us, and we're so quick to want to judge them. So quick to be hard on them. Sometimes the Lord lets us fail so that we'll know how to help others. I was talking with another man this week, and he mentioned the Lord's Prayer. And he said the Lord's Prayer is going to send more people to hell. And it's kind of the first thought was, wow, what's he mean by that? And he said, the Lord's Prayer, we say, Father, forgive me as I forgive those who have trespassed against us. Forgive us. You know how many people pray that prayer and want forgiveness. But then when someone does them wrong, they're quick to exact judgment. They want satisfied. They want their tooth. They want their truth. They want whatever it takes so that their justice will be satisfied instead of going the extra mile. Jesus said to forgive 7 times 70. There's no room for me to exact judgment upon someone for doing me wrong. We just sometimes we lift people up so high, and then when they fail, we bring them so low. Like Paul, when Barnabas, they came into the city and they were calling them the gods, and they were going to offer a sacrifice to them. And Paul said, no, we're just men like you. And then later, towards the end of the chapter, they're ready to stone them and kill them. So many times people lift men up, and then the first time they fail, instead of just letting them be a man, they got to drag them and turn them into a devil. They go from a god to a devil instead of just letting them be men and forgiving them. Back here to Matthew 20 or Matthew 5, it says, but I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. I mean, if someone fails you, you go the extra mile to forgive them. Go out of your way. You want trouble? You want to get over not being able to forgive someone? Don't just forgive them to the very least. go all the way with your forgiveness when they compel you. You're compelled, okay, like a child sometimes. How many times have we seen a child and they've done something wrong and you tell them to go say you're sorry and they, I'm sorry. There's no forgiveness there that hasn't done a thing. It's nothing changed their heart. Many people, that is just going the mile they're forced to. There's no victory in that. There's no Christianity in that. Going the extra mile. Reaching and stretching to get the highway, the higher way than what Christ is, than what is even required. Going above that. Give to him that asketh, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. You know, we just try to get by. And that is not the way to victory. Getting victory is going all out to do whatever we need to do. Go extra. Someone takes your coat, sues you. In verse 43 it says, "You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute or greet your brothers only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." Right there is Christianity. That's how you find victory, is being like your Father in heaven. He created us in His own image. He created us to live for Him. And He's told us how to do that. Rise above people. Rise above their frailties. Go the extra mile in how you treat people. God lets His rain on the good and the evil. The second mile is the mile that makes us like Jesus. And we struggle around with our own little rule books and our own little law books, and we get our denominations all hammered out, and we get the way we want to, and just close ourselves in some little box, and we protect ourselves from actually becoming what God wants us to be. Whenever we isolate ourselves and we keep ourselves from the temptations, we keep ourselves from struggles, just resting in our, we're separating ourselves, we're keeping ourselves from God being able to touch us. We keep ourselves from Him being able to test us and try us and stretch us into something more. We'd rather live in our little safe shell. But that safe shell is just the first mile. And it will not produce in us what we need to become the children of God, the children of our Father which is in heaven. Go that extra mile. May the Lord bless us as we seek to do that and follow Him.